Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace of Acharya Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai.
Translation. Maitreya said, "You may now hear from me how the Supreme Lord separated himself into diverse forms of the demigods after the manifestation of the gigantic universal form." Please repeat after me. Maitreya said, "You may now hear from me how the Supreme Lord separated himself into the diverse forms of the demigods after the manifestation of the gigantic universal form." So before I read today's purport, I wanted to recap on yesterday's purport, the last paragraph, which was a class wonderfully given by His Grace Baladev Prabhu yesterday. I'm sure you all remember. So yesterday's purport, the last paragraph says, "The Lord can reveal himself only to a person who is submissive and who engages in his transcendental loving service. The demigods controlling the elements and ingredients of universal affairs pray to the Lord for guidance, and thus he manifested his gigantic form as he did at request of Arjuna." So we will refer to this in the class today. So then today's purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, "The demigods are separated parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, as are all other living entities. The only difference between the demigods and the ordinary living entities is that when the living entities are rich in pious acts of devotional service to the Lord, and when their desire to lord it over material nature has vanished, they are promoted to the posts of demigods, who are entrusted by the Lord with executing the management of the universal affairs." Yeah. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan Ki Jai. Just to repeat the translation again, Maitreya said, "You may now hear from me how the Supreme Lord separated himself into the diverse forms of the demigods after the manifestation of the gigantic universal form." So the verse ends with Shrinu, Shrinu, just hear, it says. In Canto 1, Chapter 12, we know how Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die within 7 days. And in this order, he severs all material attachments. He offers himself in full surrender to the Lord. And he hears Srimad Bhagavatam from his divine grace, Shukadev Goswami, isn't it? So as you are here today, as you hear today's class, I seek your blessings and ask you to add your own realizations in this particular verse today to enhance our collective learning experience. And to correct me if I've spoken anything which isn't quite right. The seniors are here, Srinivas Prabhu, all the Vaishnavas who've gathered here and online. So just let us all enhance our collective understanding of this wonderful Amala Puran, Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this is, I see that it still finishes at 8:30, which is good, okay? We'll have to crack on a little bit. So today, I'd like to ask you a question. In the Shastras, how many species of life are there in the material creation? Start off with an easy question. Wonderful, yes. 8 million species of life, and we know from that there are 400,000 human or human-like species. And so in today's verse, it refers to the demigods. So in these 8.4 million species of life, where are the demigods? Remember, 8.4 million species of life in the material creation. So where are the demigods? Yes, Bishal Prabhu. Okay, it's all right. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, part of the 400,000. Exactly. It's just the mic is with him. Part of the 400,000. Exactly. So, we know that from the purport, Prabhupada says, the living entities are promoted to the posts of demigods, isn't it? Who are entrusted by the Lord with executing the management of the universal affairs, isn't it? So the next question is, okay, well, this is amazing. So how many demigods are there to manage this entire universal creation? What's the number, do we think? Yes, David Prabhu. 33 million. Yes, some way says 33 million. Some says 330 million in some scriptures, and some say 33. Interesting, eh? So let's just go with the most quoted 33 million, okay? So the 33 demigods or devas are made up of 8 Vasus, 11 Rudras, which generate from Lord Shiva, 12 Adityas, 1 Lord Indra, and 1 Lord Brahma. So these plus many others accumulate to the vast number of 33 million that actually manage this entire universal affairs. For whom? Krishna or Vishnu, isn't it? As we know from the expansion, from the creation diagrams, which I'm sure you're all very learned about, that Krishna expands and then Vishnu takes over and then Lord Brahma is born and then he's inspired to create and so on and so forth. So within this, there are also other positions that are considered major or minor devas. In other words, demigods, isn't it? So what would you say are some of the key universal positions in this management of the universal affairs? Would you like to care to list some of the positions, the key positions that have been taken by the demigods in this wonderful creation of the Lord? Yes. Vayu, yes. I have got a list here, so I will tick off as you say. Okay? Vayu, yes. Who is Vayu? God of wind and air. Thank you. Yes. Who else? Agni. Agni Dev is God of fire. Yes. Brahma. Brahma, the topmost creator of the entire universal creation. He has the top position. Yes. Wonderful. Indra. Indra, yes. The King of the demigods controls rains, thunderstorms, etc. like that. Yes? Aha, interesting. So, Lord Shiva, is he a demigod? How many of you say he's a demigod? Hands up. Okay, and how many say he's not a demigod? Well, let's look at Lord Shiva as the Lord Shiva's form in this universal creation at the moment. So, it is said in the scriptures that Lord Shiva's position is very unique. He is his own tattva. He's not a demigod. Yeah. So, in terms of percentages, we know in Canto 1, there's a description about percentages of, you know, Krishna has 10%, then Vishnu has 93%, and then Brahma has 78% of the qualities of Krishna, etc., like that. And so, Vishnu and Shiva are almost comparable. It's like milk and yogurt. Isn't it? So they are very, very similar. Lord Shiva has his own tattva. So never mistake Lord Shiva as a demigod. Okay, wonderful. Any others? Yes. What about Lakshmi Devi? Who is Lakshmi Devi? Is she a demigod? She's actually in expansion of whom? Radharani, of course. In the creation diagram, you will see. If you know the creation diagram, she comes directly from Radharani during the churning of the milk ocean, isn't it? Okay, who else? I have 15 on my list. I didn't want to list all 33 million today. Otherwise, we'll be here till next month. Yes, David and then Vishal. Yamaraj, yes, Yama, god of death and justice. Yes, okay. Surya Dev, yes, who gives light and knowledge and removes ignorance. Saraswati, yes, she's the goddess of knowledge. Yes, mother? Oh, you had the same, okay. Ganesha, yes, of course. Ganesha is removal of all material obstacles and the first deity that you pray to before doing any sort of material activities for material gain. Hanumanji. Okay, Hanuman. Interesting. Is Hanuman a demigod? So Hanuman, again, is a very unique position. Hanuman is one of the topmost Vaishnavas. He's a servant of Lord Ram. And he's a Chiranjeevi who's been given the aspect of staying on this planet until the end of this yuga, like that. So then Hanumanji is, some people would consider him as demigod, but many wouldn't, like that. He'd consider him as the servant of the Lord. So I'll just quickly go through Indra, Surya, Chandra, we mentioned Varuna, Vayu, Agni, Yama, Kubera, god of wealth and treasures, Brahma, the 12 Adityas, 11 Rudras. The 12 Adityas are the solar deities governing various cosmic functions. The 11 Rudras from Lord Shiva controlling destruction and renewal. So Lord Shiva himself doesn't go around destructing and renewal. He has the 12, 11 Rudras to do that. 8 Vasus, deities of nature, elements and phenomena. 2 Ashwini Kumaras, divine physicians, Ganesha, Kartikeya, etc. like that. So there, as you can see in today's verse, there are many other demigods who are considered to be empowered expansions and assistants of Lord Vishnu, isn't it? Acting as cosmic administrators in this universal creation, overseeing different aspects of everything that we know. It's like departmental heads in the vast cosmic management and government of various elements and functions on behalf of whom? Krishna. And Krishna at work is Vishnu, exactly. So this is the difference between Krishna and Vishnu. Krishna is playing the flute. He doesn't have any work to do. He has, what is his work? He goes out with the gopas. He goes and plays with the calves and the cows and the gopis at night and does his rasa dance and so on and so forth. But when he puts on his wig as a judge or as Vishnu, lying down and creating universes and, you know, coming in as Paramatma within individual atoms, he has a job. So it's a different personality, yet the same person. Achintya beda beda tattva, right? So there are even demigods who are responsible for our little blinking. Demigods that make us move. Demigods that actually helps us breathe whilst we are sleeping. Demigods that makes our hair grow. Demigods that actually makes our nails grow, etc., etc., etc. So it is said, right? The universal gigantic body of the Lord is controlled by the demigods. You see? Okay, the Lord creates it, but who is that to attract? As we heard in yesterday's class, is to attract whom? The Mayavadis and the atheists and those who get easily bewildered. Right. Arjuna wanted to see the universal form, not for him, because he was awestruck by the magnanimity of the Lord, but it's quite gruesome, isn't it? You know, all these people are coming into the Lord's mouth, they're being crushed, they're dying, all these things, horrific things that are going on. Arjuna is a compassionate soul. He doesn't want to see all this death and all these things going on. It's very gruesome, it's scary, isn't it? And so therefore, devotees of the Lord are not interested in the universal form, isn't it? So it is important to know that whilst these demigods have significant powers, they have absolutely, within their domains, they have extreme amount of power. Their positions are considered offices that can be attained by every one of us. All living beings can actually obtain this power through our individual sadhana, through our individual meditation, through our pious credits. We can all actually accumulate sufficient pious credits, or punya in Sanskrit, to actually come to a position of a demigod. In fact, it is said all of us were a Brahma one time, but through our various nefarious activities, we have sort of gone down and down and down and down into the lower species of life. Vedic literature emphasizes that whilst demigods can be respected for their roles, ultimate worship should be directed to whom? Krishna. Lord Shri Krishna, as it says in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhaktaram Yagya Saptapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Yatvamam Shanti Richati. Yes. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Wonderful. So there is obviously a long purport to this verse. I'll just capture one small paragraph. The greatest peace formula is simply this. Lord Krishna is the beneficiary of all human activities. Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord, because he is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. No one is greater than he. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. So you see, it says demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. So Lord Shiva is separated out from the demigods. Isn't it? Like that. So you may ask an interesting question. Let's see if this is an interesting question. What in this concept of demigod positions as offices which can be attained by jivas? Did you get that question? What is this concept of demigod positions as offices that can be attained by jivas? So all of you can actually attain a position, an office, in the universal management affairs of the Lord. Prabhupada said, isn't it? Yes, some of my devotees will be demigods. Not all will attain liberation or go back home, back to Godhead. Some will be demigods. How many of you want to be demigods? Come on, hands up. Oh, no. Of course, all of us want to be the Gopa friend or the gopis, Radharani's friend, cowherd boys playing with Krishna and Balaram on the paddy fields of Vrindavan, running away. Yes. Or we want to be a little creeper, or a little butterfly, just hanging on top of Krishna's flute. Or that buzzing bee that disturbs Radharani in her meditation of Krishna. But it says there is, yes, we can be there, of course. From our pure attentive chanting, we can all be there. But then we also must have a plan B, right? In case, just in case. So just in case, His Grace Lal Govinda Prabhu says that there are five aspects to demigod worship. Or not demigod worship, but the position of demigod, that question. That five aspects are pious credits, temporary roles, hierarchy and responsibility, path to liberation, and encouragement for practitioners. So pious credits, the roles of demigods are not permanent, as you know. It can be obtained by souls who have accumulated significant punya through virtuous deeds and sacrifices over many, many lifetimes. Right? These positions are akin to high-ranking posts within the cosmic administration, awarded based on one's past karma and spiritual merits. It's not easy to actually become a demigod. They have significant power. It's not easy to actually control the wind, for example, in this universal creation, to actually continuously circumambulate the entire universe and giving light. The sun never sleeps, right? It has to continuously carry on. We have to sleep in this material body made of earth, water, fire, ether, air, mind, intelligence, ego has to sleep. It's a temporary role. The tenure of a demigod is temporary, lasting for a duration of a particular cosmic cycle, isn't it? Or until the merits that have qualified for the position are exhausted. And then what? Ooh, back to your position on this earthly plane. Because yes, when you've taken a position of a demigod, yes, you either come down or there are other possibilities. And the other wonderful possibilities are that you may be asked by the Lord to be in a pastime of the Lord on the material plane. How many of you would like to be a demigod? So that you could be asked to become in a pastime of Krishna. Because as soon as you come in front of, in face to face with Krishna, what happens? That's it. You're delivered. Instant. Isn't it? So, it's a temporary role. Hierarchy and responsibility. Demigods have a specific responsibility, such as controlling the natural elements that we've discussed, assisting and maintenance of the cosmic order. Each demigod has a particular domain that they look after, as we discussed. You know, for example, Vayu, Indra, Agni, etc. Path to liberation. Whilst the position of a demigod is prestigious, it is still within the material realm, as we know. That's why none of you put your hands up, which is well done. Subject to laws of karma as well as the cycle of birth and death. True liberation, moksha. Again, how many of you want moksha? Liberation. Okay? Okay? Is achieved by transcending all material designations or positions, including those of demigods, and realizing one's eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. Of course, Vaishnavas are not interested in moksha. Right? And then finally, the last section is encouragement and encouragement for practitioners. The idea that demigod positions are attainable through piety serves as an encouragement for practitioners to live righteously. Again, Vaishnavas, not interested in demigods. But it's a great, great tool for those who are in dharma, artha, kama, moksha position. Like, you know, those Hindus, those cultural elements, they want to practice dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Them to understand that this piety can actually elevate them to be to the position of demigods and then eventually come into the pastime of the Lord sometimes. That is a great encouragement for them, isn't it? We know from the pastimes of... Actually, let me ask you. Which pastimes you know that the specific demigods had come down to earth, then they saw Krishna and they were liberated? Yes, okay, Yamaraj. Who else? Brahma, yes, Brahma. Narada Muni, actually, he never Well, actually, you know, there's a past time of when he fell down again, but that was due to a curse. But he's an eternal associate of the Lord. I'm thinking of a specific example of Krishna's pastime. Yes, David? Yes, Manigriva and Nalakuvera. Yeah, the Yamala Arjuna trees. They were cursed by Narada Muni to take birth as trees. But then that benediction was, or that curse was a benediction, because they saw Krishna face to face and they went back straight to their elevated position. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam verse 3 to 32 says, the Supreme Lord Krishna desired to utilize the opulent financial strength of Maharaj Nanda for worship of the cows, and also wanted to give a lesson to Indra, the king of heaven. Thus he advised his father to perform worship of Go, or the pasturing land and the cows, with the help of learned Brahmanas. We know the pastimes, right? Worship. Instead of worshipping Indra, we worshipped Govardhan Hill. In the purport, it says, the worship of demigods by the general populace is advised in the Vedic literature just so people can accept the superior power of the Lord. So actually, the demigods are servants of the Lord, deputed to look after the management of various activities and universal affairs, as it is said in this verse. Therefore, it is advised in the Vedic scriptures that one should perform yajnas to appease the demigods. But one who is devoted to the Supreme Lord has no need to appease any demigods. So there you are. Worship of the demigods by common people is an arrangement for acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, but it is not necessary. So this is the thing. We know some very good examples like Ajamil, who just by saying Narayan, he attained his position back into his supreme thought patterns again. He'd fallen away from Brahmanas, but then he attained that position again. Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagwana ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Gornitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. Who are the other personalities who came in again in contact with the Lord, and then instantly, because of that contact, they were abominable in their character, but because of their contact with the Lord, they attained their superior positions? Shishupal, well, yeah, okay, so Shishupal, and then, but they had to take another birth, right, after being Shishupal. And who were they after Shishupal? That was before Shishupal. Yes, David Prabhu. Jagai and Madai. Of course, in Chaitanya Leela, as we know, Jagai and Madai were the original Jain Vijay in the fourth incarnation as demons. Right? Which was a special incarnation because the Lord decided to have a special incarnation in this very Manmantara as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. So, because of the benediction of Nityananda, Jagai and Madai were delivered. So therefore, if we want to get mercy of Chaitanya, we need to approach Lord Nityananda like that. And of course, Mugrari the hunter and so on and so forth, who got benediction from Narada Muni, the pure devotee of the Lord. So if we approach Srila Prabhupada, we get benediction just like Mugrari did. You know? So this is the special age of Kali. Kali Yuga, in this very special age, is very, very potent because of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada. But it is said in the scripture, isn't it, that this age of Kali is very, very fallen. It's the most degraded place, right? How many of you think that is the most degraded place? Right? And it's had no good qualities, right? What do you think? Yes. You said something? Okay, so it's a golden age because of Mahaprabhu. Yes, Srinivas Prabhu. Very good. I was exactly coming to that point. Well done, Srinivas Prabhu. Kale dosha nije radan asti eko mahan guna. Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Raja. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.351 says, "My dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom." So yes, we are very, very fortunate for this age that we are born in this very special Kali Yuga. Yes, we could have been born in any of the other Kali Yugas, in any of the millions of universes. But in this special Kali Yuga, it is because of Prabhupada's mercy that we get to do the whole morning program. Can you imagine? Because of Prabhupada, the whole world is doing Tulsi Aarti in the morning time and sometimes in the evening time also. The whole world is singing Samsara Dava at Mangal Aarti time. Over 800 temples, centers, etc. around the world because of Prabhupada. Because of no one else, Prabhupada at the ripe old age of 70, he did the sacrifice, and because of that huge sacrifice, around the world, we are doing Tulsi Aarti, we are doing Samsara Dava, we are doing Guru Puja, we are having Bhagavatam class, recitation of Bhagavatam, all around the world. Not just in India, where it was originally reserved for, but all around the world. The real International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because of Prabhupada. And so therefore, it is immensely fortunate that we are here whilst Prabhupada is here. In other Kali Yugas, Prabhupada is not here. Yes, there is the Maha Mantra, but it's a different Maha Mantra. Isn't it? It's Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Or the various variations. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't install that. Prabhupada didn't come. It's there. So we're very lucky. So in that way, therefore, it is immensely fortunate that in this Kali Yuga, because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, we are here. And so I'll sort of end with this, or at least look at this. This is a wonderful book. I don't know whether you've seen it. Srinivas Prabhu's definitely read this. It's called The Jaiva Dharma by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it's been translated by Srila Prabhupada's disciple, wonderfully translated. He says, of course, you know, we love to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, isn't it? But Prabhupadananda Saraswati says that Krishna himself was also given a wonderful mantra to chant. But before we do that, let me read out to you from this book about the glories, the various glories of the Maha Mantra that we actually have, right? This book basically is a conversation. It's actually an amazing book about Tattva Gyan, but also in a very conversational way. So if you like stories, you can get Tattva through stories also. It's a very nice book. And it's basically a conversation between disciples and spiritual masters like that. She says, first you must drive away all mental speculations and materialistic concepts. So mental speculation, materialistic concepts, drive them away. Then when you begin to chant Harinam incessantly, very soon spiritual perception will awaken in your heart. The more you engage in debates and arguments, the more the mind will be entangled with gross profanities. So remove yourself away from engaging in debates and arguments. However, if greater endeavor is made to increase the taste for chanting, material inebriety will decrease and transcendence will seep into the heart. So our heart will translate from becoming material to becoming transcendental when we actually focus in our chanting. Forget about the arguments, forget about the debates, forget about the things that you have to do. Use that time that we have. Prabhupada has given us 2 hours in the morning to chant. Try and chant incessantly. It continues. So then the student is asking, kindly describe the spiritual experience in detail. This spiritual experience in detail. This is my earnest desire. If the mind is unable to experience spiritual consciousness through words and discussion, it shies away in doubt. So if the mind is not, you know, conducive for having discussion, it will shy away and have lots of doubts. However, the spiritual platform can be attained only by the sincere application of the transcendental process, the culture of Chit Ananda, spiritual bliss. So we can all achieve spiritual bliss through this process of chanting. Curb all argumentation and chant Harinam continuously for a few days. Okay, this is the crux of the instruction. Chant Harinam continuously for a few days. Then you will find that all doubts have been dissipated and all questions have ceased by the power of the mantra. So if you continuously chant for a few days, every question that the mind keeps on giving you during chanting, the to-do list, the machine gun japa, the snoozy japa, all of that, and so many other japa types will go away. The mind will be saturated with this transcendental bliss that is available in the Harinam. But you need to give it a few days. So if you haven't been to His Grace Mahatma Prabhu's japa retreats, the next time he does one, please take the opportunity to go and participate in that. Because he induces people to chant minimum of 64 rounds, if not more. And it's a wonderful experience. I kid you not. When you go to Vrindavan, how many of you been to Vrindavan? Boma Vrindavan. Quite a lot of people have been to Vrindavan, okay? How many of you in Vrindavan have chanted 64 rounds? Come on. You have, right? Let me ask you, how do you feel after chanting those 64 rounds in Vrindavan? Versus how you feel when you're chanting your 16, 32, whatever number of rounds are you doing anywhere else? How do you feel? Come, maybe there's a mic somewhere. People like to comment. Peaceful? Blissful? Blissful? Yes?
I felt the opposite. I was just really, my mind was very
agitated. Your mind was agitated. So you need more days. You need more days to chant. Okay, very good. So you're actually purifying the mind, right? So when that happens, you're purifying, you're getting rid of everything else from the mind. That's what's going on. That's what Mahatma Prabhu says. Yeah. Who has felt what when you're chanting these number of rounds in a very, very auspicious place like Vrindavan, Mayapur, Dwarka, Mathura, etc., Ayodhya, all these dhams? You'd feel intense spiritual bliss. Because what happens is when your mind is becoming focused, sharpened, it then takes the form of a different personality altogether. It becomes subdued from continuous bashing by the Harinam. And that's what you're effectively doing. And that's what we need to do. And so Krishna was also given a mantra. Did you know? Krishna had his own mantra. Prabhadananda Saraswati says, Krishna himself was given a wonderful mantra to chant in Vraj by Rishi Bhaguri. He said to Krishna to go and chant the Narayan mantra for his own protection. Right? Krishna said, okay, I will go and chant the Narayan mantra for my own protection. And so Mother Yashoda also said, yes, Krishna, all these demons are coming to kill you. For your own protection, you must chant this Narayan mantra. You know what Mother Yashoda, you know what mothers are like. Very, very protective of their children, isn't it? So Mother Yashoda was intensely in agony to understand, how can I protect my little boy Krishna? So she said to Krishna, right, Krishna, you have to go to this temple, take your bath, go to the temple and chant your Narayan mantra. Krishna, like a good boy, yes. Took his bath, combed his hair, and sat under a tree to chant Narayan mantra. Narayan, 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 Narayan. Oh, it's so boring chanting my own names. He's like, isn't it? It's so boring. What shall I do? At that time, Vrinda Devi sent her parrot because she wanted to make sure Krishna was chanting the mantra properly, you know, like this. And so the CCTV of a parrot, yes, CCTV was existed back in that time, Rajbhumi. Because you see, everything that has been created in this material world already originated in Rajbhumi, you see. CCTV was there first, before we got CCTV here. Now this Bhaktivedanta Manor is Fort Knox of CCTVs, isn't it? Anything you do, sneeze, oh yeah, he sneezed, look, write it down. No, just kidding. CCTV is like that. It originated in Raj. All scientific discoveries are originated in Vrindavan. So just like that, Krishna got completely bored with this Narayan mantra. And so then the parrot was sitting on top of the tree where Krishna was underneath, and Krishna's going, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And the parrot is going, what do you want? I don't have any taste. I'm not getting the bliss. What shall I do? Then parrot goes, Dara, 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 Dara. And Krishna's thinking, oh, this bird is silly bird, you know, what to do? But this bird was very intelligent. Instead of actually saying Dara, 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 he started saying Radha, 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 Radha. So he's saying Dara, 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 Dara. And Krishna's going, the bliss is coming from the parrot. Oh, yes. And he became very blissful. So therefore, Krishna, instead of the Narayan mantra, he started chanting the Radha mantra. And because of chanting of the Radha mantra, he became extremely blissful. So in our Hare Krishna Maha mantra, how many words are there? 16 words. How many words are there of Krishna? Sorry? How many words of Krishna? Sorry? 8. Is it? Come on, okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. 4. How many words of Rama? 4. So then how many words of Radharani? 8. Because Hare is non different to Radharani. You are already chanting Radha, Radha, Radha 8 times. And you're already chanting Krishna names 4 times. And you're already chanting Krishna name, Ram names 4 times. Isn't it? So this is why this Maha Mantra is called the Maha Mantra. This is why you get the bliss by chanting this mantra. If I chant it attentively, if I chant it without offenses, if I chant it with depth, that will only appear when you get to that platform of 32, 64 rounds. You know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's minimum, Gaudiya Vaishnava, the Gaudiya Math, what was the minimum standard? When you get initiation is 64 rounds. Why? Because we have to get to that platform. Yes, merciful Prabhupada made it easy for us. We think, oh, I've done my 16 rounds, thank you very much, let me go and do my work, let me go and do this thing, let me do that nonsense. 4 regulatory principles and 64 rounds. Let's get to that position. Try to get to that position. His Holiness Kadamakana Maharaj says, wake up at 2. Try and chant all your first 16 rounds before Mangalarti. He used to do that regularly. Before his services as a temple president in Vrindavan, as a samadhi constructor in Mayapur. Imagine that. So when we get to that platform, the saturation, the Maha Mantra comes to the saturation point. And therefore, we can get to that spiritual bliss. Srila Prabhupada ki. So just to summarize, today we focused on the varieties of demigods and how they're empowered to manage all the universal affairs, including the functions of all the living entities. How the demigods acquire their posts through lifetimes of punya. Through verses 529, 3 to 32, we understood that ultimate goal for devotees is the unconditional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And finally, through verse 12, 351, Kali Yuga, though full of faults, is the brilliant aspect of Harinam Sankirtan. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatir Anyatha. Thank you very much. I'd like to end the class here. Sorry, going over by 4 minutes. Hare Krishna. If there's any comment or criticism or corrections, then please say so now. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, let's have a mic so then devotees on online can hear.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
I'm a little confused when you said that Lord Shiva is not a demigod. Did I hear that correctly?
Because yeah.
Just, you know, a couple of verses. A couple of quotes. This
yes.
is from Krishna book. Prabhupada says, chapter 63, Lord Shiva is called Mahadev, the greatest of all the demigods.
Yeah.
And then in the fourth canto, it says that Lord Shiva is the most powerful demigod.
Yeah.
Second only to Lord Vishnu. So I wonder if you sure. could Very clarify good. That. Please.
Thank you. Thank you. So we know that in the Shastra, there are multiple references to Lord Shiva. And even here, as I recited, it says demigod, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma, as described in the Shastra also. Now, you see, in the creation, we know that Lord Shiva has his original position as Sadashiv. And he is the one who comes down into the material to take a position as a so-called demigod. But as we know, it is said in that own verse, he's Mahadev. Devoke Dev Mahadev. He is above the demigods. He's actually the topmost demigod. Actually, he's even higher than Lord Brahma. Yeah? And so therefore, although Prabhupada describes him as demigod, he's taken a position of demigod. His actual position is in Sadashiv in the Vaikuntha realm. Right? So if you look at the creation diagram, you can come to me, I'll show it to you later. There is Sadashiv and you can see where that where it is positioned in the entire Vaikuntha realm, like that. So he has his original position. He isn't the one that is we think, oh, he's just a demigod. And many people actually think and take it wrongly that he is actually the original creator, which it can be easily misunderstood. It can be easily done. Because obviously Shankaracharya came and so on and so forth to re-establish the Vedas after Lord Buddha came, like that. Yeah? Okay. Good question. Thank you. Yes, dear David Prabhu, and then Kartika Prabhu.
As Lord Vishnu is the maintainer,
yes.
So Lord Vishnu is just Lord the Lord.
Like yes, yes. Lord Vishnu is the Lord of the Lords. He's the maintainer. He maintains literally everything. Even in the photograph that we see here, he's the one who actually expands. That's why it's not just one Vishnu. There are three Vishnus. He expands into many aspects, every atom. So yeah. Absolutely, ultimate. Kartika Prabhu? And then maybe from ladies, Anita, yes. Hare Krishna. Turn it on, please. Yeah.
Hare Bol. So in one of my Bhakti Rishya classes, it said that that the demigods, they cannot go back to Godhead. They need to come down in order to go back to Godhead.
Okay, so it depends. It depends. Like we said, yes, certain demigods who have certain powers, they exhaust their powers and they have to come back down again to continue their activity and then go back home. That's one aspect. The other aspect is, as we discussed, they can come down as an instruction from the Lord to come and perform in his pastimes. And then they get association of the Lord, they can go back. Other times also, they're constantly getting association of Lord Vishnu, right? So again, that's same thing, they can go back. So there are many aspects written like that. Anita, maybe we can get the mic to Anita.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
So my question is, you mentioned the 64 rounds, and that's something that we should aim towards.
Yeah.
But if you're in the material world or working world, what's your advice, or how can we fit that in so that it's practical? Because 64 hours is like 8 hours. then we've got to work 8 hours.
Yeah, so 8 hours of working, 8 hours of 64 rounds, and 8 hours of 5 hours of sleeping, and the rest are eating whatever, isn't it? Done. No, just kidding. Very good question, thank you. So this is why I mentioned that you could take some time out and go on to a retreat and utilize that time away from work for that purpose. You could go on to Mahatma Prabhu's Japa retreats or Sachinanda Maharaj's Japa retreats. You could actually take your away from that. You could enhance your 16 rounds by doing these various activities like that. So there are many ways you could do that. I would suggest starting slowly, increasing slowly from 16 to 17, 17 to 18, so on and so forth. If you can increase your rounds like that, because remember we took a vow saying minimum 16 rounds, but it doesn't stop us from increasing. It doesn't say minimum 16 rounds and maximum 17 rounds. No, it doesn't say that. Right? Minimum 16 rounds.
But does that mean that when you're trying to get to 64, you're almost saying it so fast that your tongue is twisted?
No, so you don't confine your time. You give it the right time. You give it the time it requires. You try and minimize all your other activities in the 24 hours that you've been given to focus on the most important activity. Like that. Yes, Prayojana Prabhu. And then this will be the last comment or question.
Very true what they say. You know, we can chant 64 rounds, but if they're not proper rounds.
Pure rounds, yes.
In other words, actually it's
Shinik Shinik Hare Krishna Hare Krishna.
64 rounds of aparad.
Yes.
And in fact it's taking you back.
Backwards.
And so 16 properly attended. Attention is the equivalent. Because I remember Mother Kalangana, she told me, look, you're doing so much service. I was doing 24 rounds at that time. She says, just do 16
Haribol.
Attentive rounds, please. And so you can't spread yourself. You know, so that's the attitude. Make sure you're attentive in your rounds.
Very good, yes. Yeah. So obviously the advice that I'm giving is based on that, which is what I said also in the class, that when you go to these retreats and these immersion areas, you're going there to fine-tune your japa meditation. You're going there to understand how to not make offenses, how to be attentive, and all of these different things like that. Yes, very good. Thank you, Prabhupada. Prabhu. Krantra Shrimi Bhagavatam Mahapuran Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.